We are in part three of our series called Lasting Words, where we're looking at these words from John chapters 14 through 17. And I won't keep saying this every Sunday. This may be the last Sunday that I say it. But it's not the last words of Jesus, but close to the last words of Jesus, and certainly the last large body of teaching that Jesus provides for us in the scripture. And so these words were not intended just for the disciples, but were intended for us as well. Intended for us to learn from and to apply and to live out in the world in which we in the world in which we live. And so 2 weeks ago we talked about the importance of the Father. Last week we talked about this idea where Jesus said, you know, we're going to do greater works than him. And we talked about prayer and what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name. And today we're going to talk about, well, that's the slide that I probably won't use that slide anymore, but I want you to understand that. And then Jesus begins this discussion on the connection between love and obedience and the indwelling presence of God in the life of the believer. So what we're going to talk about today are those two things. What is the connection between love and obedience? What is the connection between love and commands that Jesus gives to us, that God gives to us? And then how does this idea of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit work in our lives? Most of these things were new to the disciples. They were new concepts, new principles that they had never heard before, but we're hearing now, or at least hearing in a different way, in the midst of all the tension and the uncertainty about Jesus leaving and the death and all of this conflict that had been arising in their ministry as they've walked these different places. What does it mean to balance love and obedience? And then also, how does the Holy Spirit help us with that in the Father? So let me just go ahead and begin to read from verse 15. I think we're going to go through verse 24 today. "If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now, I believe that at this point all the disciples are just like, what are you talking about? Okay? What are you saying? What does all of this mean? I in you, and you in me, and the Father, and the Helper, and And so Judas, not the Judas that betrayed Jesus, he had already left, but Judas speaks up and says to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So in this particular passage of Scripture, these verses from 15 to 24, I believe there are these two main ideas. What is the connection between love and obedience? And so let me look at those scriptures again. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." These are not going to be new to most of you. Most of you are familiar with this. And this is not necessarily the first time that Jesus has shared this. And then if you're familiar with the rest of the New Testament writers, Paul and James and Peter and John, they pick up on this idea and they flesh this out for us. But here's the way Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He who does not love me does not keep my words." Over and over again in this passage or in this section, he's sharing with this. And I wanted to ask you to consider, what is it like to think about the words love and commands as they relate to Jesus, as they relate to God? So this is going to represent love, and this is going to represent commands or obedience. Okay? Now, in human relationships, we sometimes have to obey people that we don't necessarily love. I mean, I know we love everyone, right? But in terms of really loving, having an intimate relationship, there's lots of people that we have to obey commands for that we don't necessarily love. We just know we need to obey the commands. So you know when the flashing red lights are behind you, or the blue lights and the red lights and all that sort of stuff, there's a command for you to do what? To pull over. Right? And you don't necessarily contemplate, well, I don't really know if I love the officer in the car behind me, whether I need to do what he says or what she says. No, you just pull over because you know it's the right thing to do. It's a command. And then there's other times where we major more on love. and we really love someone or we love a group of people, and they may or may not give us commands, but how does it relate to God? How does this all fit together? Like, it's not supposed to be separate in our minds. God is going to teach us. And Jesus says, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. What I believe God is looking for us to do and what God actually does in our lives when we follow Jesus, when we decide that we want to become a follower of Christ, we want to know the Father, is the concept of love and commands begins to merge together. So that when you and I begin to think about love and obedience, we no longer think of them as two separate things. Instead, we think of them more as a connection of the same thing. And I use this illustration when I do weddings sometimes to illustrate two becoming one. Because now, in just a few seconds there, I can no longer get that blue out of here, right? I cannot get the blue out anymore. I cannot get the white out anymore. And if I was to continue to do this for another about 5 minutes or so, I would end up with just one sort of light blue color. It would all mix together. And so as you and I think about the commands of God, and we think about the relationship that we have with God, I want you to understand those are not two separate things. God intends for those to be synthesized together in our life so that it is just as natural for us to obey him as it is to love him. And it is just as natural for us to love him as it is to obey him. And that it's all moved together. So that when we read, he who does not love me does not keep my words. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. We don't see that necessarily as, okay, I have to major on love for a little while and then I'll major on commands and a little while later. No, that it is all together. Is that the way you think of it? I believe that's the way God desires us to think of it. So a couple of thoughts from your notes. Number one, you can't love God without obeying him. You just can't. I think there's some pushback around that a little bit. And clearly the church and certainly some elements of the church have emphasized the obeying more than they should, more than the love. But we can't push back on that and say, okay, well, I can just say I love God, I follow God, God, you're there, you're with me, we're together, we do everything, but then not do what he says, right? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say, right? You have to follow me, God says. Now, this doesn't necessarily work always in human relationships, right? There are people that can give you commands that might not necessarily be in your best interest. Right? I mean, I could do that to you. I'm not sure that all the things I've ever told my kids to do has always been in their best interest. Sometimes I think maybe some selfishness gets in the way or an agenda that I have might come in, or you might have something at work where somebody says to do something and you know that it's really not in your best interest to do that, and so you have a decision to make. Do I go ahead and do what it is that she's asked me to do, or do I say, no, I'm not gonna do that? But one of the things that we know about God is, this next slide, is that everything that God commands us to do is in our best interest. Everything. Everything. It's not true with me. It's not true with you as you think about, because sometimes even if we don't intend it, it's just not. We sing a song, Ocean, sometimes. We sang it last week. Right? I made this comment. I can't remember if I said it in second service or first service. Think about that line. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders, right? Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. I'm getting ready. Next Sunday, I'm preaching a revival service in the morning. Pastor Kay is going to be preaching here. I'm preaching at Three Springs Church of the Brethren. I've never been asked to preach revival service before, so I'm really excited about this, scared, nervous, whatever. But I'm preaching 5 sermons in a row, and I'm doing them all on the hymn, How Firm a Foundation. We don't sing that one too much here, but it's, you know, how firm a foundation is Jesus my Lord. Na, 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 na. It's an oldie but goodie, right? One of the hymn lines in there, so I'm looking at 5 different stanzas in the hymn and 5 sermons, and one of those talks about that God is going to call us through the waters. Right? That God is going to call us through the waters, through the flood waters, but that they won't overflow. And I began to think about that song, Oceans. Right? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. What's that look like? What's that look like? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Do you see how love and obedience fits together there? I'm probably not going to let any of you lead me where my trust is without borders. I'm, as wonderful as you might be, you could go off your rocker momentarily. Okay. I'm going to hold back a little bit. And if you lead me in a place that I'm not comfortable with, it's unlikely that I'm going to go. But I don't have to fear that with God. Because every place and everywhere that God is going to lead me always is in my best interest. And I can obey. I can go where my trust is without borders because of the love that I have for God and the love that God has for me. So when we talk about commands and when Jesus says, you know, if you love me, keep my commands, I don't think that we have to focus specifically on specific commands that we have in the scripture, though that might be important for us. I believe that what really God is asking us to lean into is wherever I call you, will you go? Whatever I ask you to do, will you do it? Will you not look at it and think, I can't do that? Would we instead see how love and obedience are mixed together in our relationship with God? So, for example, when God says to us, you know, you need to forgive him. God says you need to forgive him. We can look at that and we can say, no, that is not in my best interest. It is not in my best interest to forgive him. But going with this concept of love and commands all mixing together, our love moves us to say, you know what, God? Because I love you and because I know you love me, I'm going to do it. In the short term, it might even be more painful for me. In the short term, I might not be able to see how you're going to make this into something good, how it's actually going to look out and or develop into something that is for my best interest. But because I love you and you love me, I'm going to do it. Because my love and my obedience to you is mixed together. I dare not try to separate them out. So when Jesus is telling these disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments, he's asking them, I believe, to move beyond, they didn't know the song Oceans, he's asking them to move beyond the borders. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to obey God without reservation when God moves you in a particular direction? Or when his word moves you in a particular direction? Now, I don't mean to say, the next slide, that love is earned through obedience. Love is not earned through obedience. We don't earn God's love. I believe we grow, however, more intimate in God's love as we obey. The next slide says that love for God will mature if a true union has been made with Christ. Unfortunately, there are those whose relationship with God is based on the commands. And so when we're in a good season of life and obeying a lot of commands, we feel good about God and we feel good about his relationship and his love for us. But I don't think that's how God desires it. Rather, I believe that God desires for our love to mature with him. And I've shared with you before that I don't quite understand fully what it means to love God. I'm not really sure I understand fully what it means to love another person, but I certainly don't quite understand what it means to love he who I cannot see. I don't really understand what that means. I just know I'm commanded to do it, and I know, as we're going to talk about in a minute, I'm enabled to do it. But I also know that over time, that love develops. If you were someone who came to know Jesus Christ as Savior when you were 8 or 9 years old, maybe even younger, 7, you understood the gospel. You understood you were a sinner. You understood that sin was going to be punished. You understood that Jesus came to die for you on a cross and offered you eternal life. And you received that. And I believe that can happen at a young age. But I'm not so sure about love. And I certainly know that whatever love you may have had for God as an 8-year-old believer ought to look a lot different as a 38-year-old believer. That love that you have now as an adult ought to be much more mature than that love as a child. And part of the way that works is obeying what God says. You know, one of those things that we all want to hear as parents is we want that young adult to come back to us and say, what? You were right. I haven't heard that yet. But we want them to come back and say, you know what? You were right. In a way, that can be understood as saying, you know what? My love for you has grown. I now see you, Dad, or see you, Mom, in a different light than I saw you when I was 12. And when you were telling me to do or not to do it. I have come to appreciate the relationship that I have with you. And my obedience now, or at least the things that you say now, even though as an adult, I no longer have to follow you. I don't have to worry about grounded. I don't have to worry about taking away the car keys. It's my car. I pay for the insurance. Hopefully they still are interested in what it is that we have to say. And my question for you and me is that relationship that we have with God that is composed of love and is composed of commandments, is it maturing? Is it maturing? So that maybe you can look back now and say, you know what, 10 years ago, my love, the love and command kind of thing was here, but now it's something better. It's something more mature. It's something greater. Because it can't just be one. You can't just say, yeah, I just really love God, but I just don't care what he says. You can't do that. And also, God doesn't desire you just to focus on the commands. He wants you to love him. He wants to have a relationship with you. Next slide says that you know, this idea, I want to go to heaven then, but I just want to go my way now. That doesn't really make sense. That's not an expression of love. That's not an expression of understanding the love and command thing together. Right? God, I want heaven then, whenever that is, hopefully a long time for some of us, you know, a long time down the road, that's what I want. I want it then. But I just want my way now. Well, that doesn't fit the command piece, right? You can't just say, yeah, great, it's great to go to heaven, but I don't really want to follow anything that you're telling me to do right now. No. Then Jesus says you don't love me. And what we read from 1 John says that you're really a liar if you express love for him and don't do what he says. I don't have any great takeaway for you today except to ask you to think about how do love and commands fit together for you as it relates to your relationship with God? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my commandments are not burdensome. Now, if you struggle with that, we would love to help you. But I have even better news for you. Next slide says, your best resource to love God is God himself. Your best resource to love God is God himself. Look again at what portions of what we read today in John chapter 14. Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells. Sorry, there shouldn't be wells with you. Unless you're drilling a well, then he also wells with you. But he dwells with you and will be in you. See that? In you. And that day you will know that I am.